Today, we may be a step closer to a national disability insurance scheme. As you'll remember, the idea was endorsed by the Productivity Commission in February, and yesterday the Commission handed its final report to the federal government. If implemented, the scheme would provide lifetime support for people with a disability. The federal government's expected to respond in the next few weeks, but in the meantime, Victoria has put up its hand to give the scheme a try. I'm joined by Rhonda Galbally, Chair of the National People with Disabilities and Carers Council, and Mary Wooldridge, the Victorian Minister for Community Services. Welcome both of you to Life Matters.
Good morning,
Good
Richard.
Morning.
Minister, if I could begin with you, why is Victoria putting itself forward to trial this scheme?
Well, we are absolutely committed to the introduction of a national disability insurance scheme, and we completely agree with what the Productivity Commission has said, that disability services are fragmented, inefficient, underfunded and unfair. And I hear that every day from people with a disability and their families and carers. We genuinely believe reform needs to happen and that this is the way to go, and we want to help drive that change.
But you've also set up your own expert task force. What's the purpose of that, given the work already done by the Productivity Commission?
Well, there's no doubt that the implementation is going to have a lot of detail around it. So the expert task force, which is headed by Brian Woodford, the ex-CEO of Eurela, and has a lot of very senior and respected people with a lot of expertise, helped in the first instance inform Victoria's submission to the Productivity Commission's final report, and now will work with us on how it gets implemented, both to put the pilot into place and implement the scheme more broadly.
How in the pilot, which I think is 2014, the trial that you want to do, will that change the way disability services are delivered?
Well, the recommendation of the Productivity Commission in its interim report, and of course we're all waiting to see the final report, and I've already written to the Federal Minister saying, please let us have it so we can get on with this, will actually trial this new scheme where it's provided, disability support is provided as an entitlement as opposed to the current system where people wait in a queue for services. And so it is considered to be a smaller area that would look at the implementation of the scheme, iron out any bugs, see what actually needs to change and whether the tools and everything that's been put in place actually works in a smaller area so that it can then be rolled out more broadly nationally. So the pilot is critical to informing the national rollout.
And will we see, a greater individualisation of care?
Well, that's one of the core elements of what the National Disability Insurance Scheme is about. Now, in Victoria, we've actually been moving towards individualised funding for 15 years, and we actually have quite a bit of expertise, and we've still got a long way to go. But why Victoria is putting up its hand, as well as the government's commitment, is we have expertise in individualised funding, and we also have a lot of experience through TAC and WorkSafe in relation to no-fault insurance schemes. So we think we're ideally positioned in that we're already well down the track on these sort of reforms to pilot an entitlement-based scheme such as the NDIS, and it would be a model for how it can be rolled out nationally.
Yes, so if the trial is successful, what would be the plan? A national rollout the following year?
That's right. That was certainly the recommendation of the Productivity Commission in the interim report. And as I say, we'll see if that's in the final report, and we certainly hope so. It would take a little bit of time, and that's why we think 2014 is reasonable, to actually get all the systems and structures and tools and quality evaluation and assessment criteria. All those things need to be put in place. So it'll take a couple of years, but once the pilot's done, we're well positioned to roll that out.
I want to bring in Rhonda Galbally now. Rhonda, welcome back. There is bipartisan support for this, but it will be pricey, $6 billion plus per year. How confident are you the money will be found?
Look, I just feel incredibly pleased to be where we are today. I think it's been like a really good journey and a courageous step to refer the whole issue to the Productivity Commission in the first place, because as soon as the federal government did that, they knew that they were on a pathway to a really major reform. It's very, very exciting that Victoria is being so very positive about this. And I guess my hope is that the reference to a trial isn't a trial so much about testing the success or failure. It's a trial about how to roll out the whole scheme so that, you know, the commitment to go ahead will occur, and then the trial is part of, or many trials. There may have to be numbers of trials, of course, because we've got to include rural and regional Australia, and, you know, so there may be many trials. But it's really good that Victoria's been so very supportive and taken such a leadership role amongst the states.
Right, so it's the beginning of the process that matters for you. Now, the Productivity Commission, it's been reported, isn't recommending a Medicare-style levy to fund this scheme. It's to come out of general revenue. How secure and sustainable is that funding model, though?
Well, I think that funding model can be as secure as Medicare. It's just, you know, the nuts and bolts of how this is going to be funded into the future, I think, has to be thought through, and I know that the government will be doing that over the next year or so. But I think the issue is the decision to proceed and to go ahead, because as Minister Wooldridge said, it will take a number of years to get the tools and all the nuts and bolts sorted, even before trialling different approaches. All of the issues that have to be worked out are really gigantic, like assessment, like what is the most progressive approach to assessment. We've just seen major changes in the disability support pension impairment table.
I do want to ask you about that, and I will come back to it. But on Life Matters today, we are talking about the prospect of whether we are a bit closer to a national disability insurance scheme. The Productivity Commission, which, as you recall, recommended this earlier in the year in its interim report, handed its final report to the government yesterday, with Ms. Rhonda Galbally, the Chair of the National People with Disabilities and Carers Council, and also Mary Wooldridge, who's the Victorian Minister for Community Services. Just on funding, Minister, I mean, apart from funding it from, I suppose, general revenue, there are other approaches. You could have something like a private co-contribution like Medicare and Super to add to public funding. What about that approach?
Well, we actually asked the Productivity Commission to think widely in between the interim report and the final report about what those funding mechanisms might be. And we certainly welcome a broad debate that will inevitably now have to happen between the federal and all the state governments about how this gets funded. The state's already put in around $5 billion worth of funding. The federal government puts in a billion or so. This says there needs to be another $6 billion on top of that, approximately. And hopefully in this report we'll get some more detail about what a closer estimation of what that total cost will be. But I think all those options need to be on the table so that we can come up with a scheme that can be funded sustainably into the future. As you say, people with a disability need that assurance that they're going to have the confidence that when they're entitled to a service and entitled to support, that they can get it. And that's a critical part of making this work.
So as from what you've just said then, the national scheme, when it comes in, and if it comes in, but let's say when it comes in, it won't take the pressure off state budgets. It's not like you can spend that $5 billion elsewhere. You can take it away from state disability services. The national insurance scheme needs to come in on top of that.
That's right. But interestingly, in the interim report, what the Productivity Commission said is that the federal government should fully fund this scheme and the states should return that money to taxpayers. So now I think, you know, that's obviously one model on the table. I think that's an unlikely model because there's already, you know, it's a very expensive scheme at $12 billion a year, but totally justified. So we're going to have those debates. But from the public and community's perspective and from people with a disability, perspective, they want to have confidence in the service delivery, and what the governments now need to negotiate and talk through is that funding to make sure they can have that confidence.
Rhonda Galbally, you mentioned this, while the insurance is still to be decided, the federal government has announced changes to the disability pension, and it's estimated that I think 40% of people currently receiving the pension wouldn't qualify under the new rules. It won't be retrospective, it'll be a from now on thing. Isn't the government giving with one hand and taking with the other?
Look, I don't think it is because the Productivity Commission recommendations and this new scheme, of course, fit the whole scenario. I think the first thing to say is that it's unlikely to be 40%. It'll be much lower than that. The Centrelink analysis was a paper-based analysis, and I don't think it'll come in anything like 40%. But the second thing to say is that there is no doubt in all the survey and research work and face-to-face discussions that people with disabilities at working age really do want to work. They want jobs for the same reasons everybody else wants jobs. They want the money, because living on the disability support pension is a truly miserable existence. They want the skills and, the dignity, but also making friends and participating in life. Like, it's a really big issue, work. But actually, getting the job starts right at the very early stages of disability. It starts with early intervention, which is now called by many of us barely intervention, where you really get enough to get the learning going for your education and training. You get the support services so that you can get out of bed and you can have a shower. You can't go to work without a shower. Well, there are thousands of people in Australia missing out on having a shower every day, if you can imagine, even when they're incontinent, because the support services aren't there. So you can see, you need the aids and equipment. You need the transport. And so I think that the National Disability Insurance Scheme, having that certainty, the similarity with Medicare is that it's the certainty that you're going to get what you need when you need it, when disability can happen to anyone at any stage of their life, to any member of their family. You want to be certain, like you are with Medicare, that you're going to get what you need. And that's what this insurance scheme's about.
Minister, if I could come back to you, what will be delivered with the NDIS, if we get it, is vital in terms of intervention, getting people showers and out of the house and that. But what can governments do to encourage employers to take on more workers with disabilities?
Well, there's a number of things, and we're actually having a look at further things that can be done. One of the things we've done in the past from a government perspective is that government agencies and supporting broader public agencies to have plans about it, to actually think actively about it, have a plan in their workplace. How do they, does the workplace environment support that to happen? Is the culture there? Are the flexibility in the workplace arrangements in place to make sure that people who have differing needs can be supported in that environment? So we have been trying to lead by example in relation to that, and then disseminate that knowledge and information and learning more broadly to the community. So there's actually quite a lot we can be done that can be done if we've got an attitude and commitment that this is important.
All right. Rhonda, just briefly, there's going to be tea parties today organised by the Every Australian Counts campaign, disability parties. What's going on?
Well, this is part of the campaign that's run by a really very important alliance in Australia, where for the first time carers, people with disabilities and services are all together united on this topic and getting the words out with tea parties, with local government, with members of parliament, with the community to really raise the issue. It's a big campaign that people with disabilities and others, we want people without disabilities who may at some stage in their life come across a disability, because it can happen to anyone. I just to comment too on the Minister's discussion about employment, because I think it is something we could do right away. I'd strongly like to see government not give a tender or a grant, a tender to a business or a grant to a non-government organisation, unless they prove that they're employing people with disabilities. I think government is in a really strong position, and I think they should be employing people with disabilities themselves. In the Commonwealth and the states, it's halved the numbers of people with disabilities being employed by government. So that should be changed. But wouldn't it be great if you can't win a tender or a grant unless you show you're employing people with disabilities?
Might have to come back to that one another day. But thank you both of you for joining me today.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
Rhonda Gowbell is Chair of the National People with Disabilities and Carers Council. And food for thought there at the end, I think, for Mary Waldridge, Victorian Minister for Community Services. They are clearly leading the way on this, Victoria. You'll find more details, of course, on the website abc.net.au/rn/lifematters.